Well, today I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, and we've been talking about tough questions, and there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions that are asked of Jesus, questions that Jesus asks. And today in Mark chapter 4, Lord's leading us to this passage of Scripture, and starting in verse 35. So Mark 4, verse 35. Don't think there's any other announcements before I actually start. So it feels like there's something that I need to mention, but anyway, it'll come to me. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Everyone say, "Let us cross over to the other side." Okay. You may be seated. I'll continue to read and you can sit down. Verse 36, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him being capital H, Jesus, along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Now, how do you think that they woke him up? Very quietly? "Psst, Jesus. Psst, teacher." No, because of what we're having this picture in our minds, a great windstorm arose, waves beat the boat so that it was already filling. What was already filling? The boat with what? Water. Anybody ever been in a situation like that? Okay. You're not just whistling Dixie. You're really scared. You're frightened. You're concerned. Of course, these guys, the disciples, they woke him. "Teacher, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was such a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So Jesus asks them this question. Now, it's interesting because I didn't just look over, but I was, "Lord, why did you ask them these questions? Why are you so fearful?" Now, he didn't just come up with just a no-need question. Jesus doesn't talk, just foolishness. He doesn't just ask a question just to ask a question. There is an importance of why he asks a question. He asks them this question because there's evidence that they're afraid. He asks this question because they are screaming. They're crying out loud. They are scared. That is why he asks them, "Why are you so fearful?" Now, there are times that you might be able to hide fear. You've learned to mask it very well. Go ahead and slide one. Poor people, our little kids, are on this roller coaster. I like the kid on the left. He's like, "Oh!" The little girl, she's about to die. But they're on a roller coaster, and they are scared. Why? You could see it. It's in their faces. You can tell by the looks of their face. They are scared. And I'm wondering if that is similar conclusion that Jesus came up with. Not just hearing them say, they didn't say, "Psst, teacher, wake up." No, they shouted. They were afraid. And it was possibly that they were seen in their faces that they were scared. Now, the next one, very funny. Go ahead. I mean, he is like, scared. We can hide. We can learn to mask our fear. We can learn to mask it. I tried to mask a little bit when Shannon and I, we went to a theme park, and this was the first time we had ever gone to a theme park together. She loves roller coasters. I was like, but boy, I masked it very well. And so she wants to skydive one day. And one day, if Jesus doesn't come yet, we might go skydiving. But she really wants to. But I really like, that's not something I really want to do. But we can mask our fear very well. Is it difficult to hide? Those of you that have hid it, you're saying yes. Or no, that haven't, you're saying no. It is difficult to hide because I cannot mask it, because words come out, reaction out of your mouth or from your hands or maybe your eyes. You see, just we've had many incidents over the last weeks, months, years that would give us an opportunity to be afraid. We can choose to be afraid. One of the things that fear does is that it likes to jump on you, doesn't it? Silas, come on over here. Ezra's not here, so you're my illustration. Come on, Silas. Jump, come on up here. When we are presented with a situation, we're presented with something that happens. A doctor's report. Oh, by the way, for those of you that have been praying for my sister, she went to the doctor and they did. They had surgery where they tried to go through her arm where they went last time to get lymph nodes, and cancer free. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Been a very tough struggle for her, especially with all the chemo that she had to go through. But praise the Lord that she's cancer free. And so they went ahead and did that surgery, found lymph nodes, didn't find any cancer on them. So glory to God. And so we're just thankful to the Lord for continued strength in her body. But fear can jump on you. Try to jump. Come jump on my back. It'll jump on you. You allow it to. Okay. Because of the circumstance of the situation, and a lot of times you don't have any control over. Any control. I don't want this to happen, but certain things can happen. Where I'm at work and I can get a phone call, we can get a phone call from the school that something happened to our kid or something's going on, and then all of a sudden fear can jump on us. And then it could overtake us if we allow it to, because more fear can come on us. Step off, stay right there. Now, the interesting thing about this is that we can try to mask it. We can say, there's nothing wrong. But deep down inside, there's something wrong. You know that there's something happened and nobody else knows about it. Jude, many months ago, some of you probably know, but he fell and I tried to hide it pretty well. Shannon probably could just see it right through me, but I was really concerned. I'm thinking, oh no, now his leg, his ankle. And I was just, Lord, I pray that nothing's broke, and he would, poor little Jude, he. And then every time he stepped, I'm thinking, in Jesus' name. And I'm trying not to let fear jump on me. Now, I've never had this happen, okay? But, where I received a pink slip, where you received notice that you're being laid off or you're being let go. What are so many, there's so many thoughts that can come to your mind. Well, how am I going to pay this? And how am I going to pay that? And what am I going to tell my wife? And what am I going to do this? And how am I going to get this? And all of those things. And every fear jumps on top of you. But we need to learn. All right, now be careful now. Come jump. We need to be careful and not allow fear to jump on us. Do it again. Pretty good. I'm not going to let you fall. All right, go ahead and jump. We can, I'm not going to push you, but we can push fear out of the way and not allow it to jump on us. So let's go back. Can you go ahead? Thank you. Appreciate it. Verse 35. This is what the disciples should have done. They should have remembered. And a lot of times we forget, right? But this is what they should have remembered. Jesus is speaking. I had you guys repeat it with me. What did Jesus say? Let us cross over to the other side. In your mind, you should already be thinking, you're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. It could have been a tsunami. You're going to the other side. Why? Who said, let us? Now, it would have been a little scary if Jesus said, let some of us cross over to the other side. Well, what do you plan on doing with some the others that are not going to the other side? No, he said, let us cross over to the other side. We end up forgetting what Jesus said. And because we forget what God's word says, when fear tries to jump on us, we allow it to. We allow fear to jump on us. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You put that scripture up there, Jacob, please. We're not given a spirit of fear. God didn't give us something that we're supposed to carry around called fear. But he gave us power, he gives us love, and he gives us a sound mind. But many times we forget. Then Jesus asked the second question. How is it that you have no faith? Ouch. Anybody ever get rebuked by the Holy Spirit and you're like, oh, I mean, you just feel this small. You feel very horrible. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you to make you feel horrible. He convicts you so that you can see there's a problem and you need to fix it. It's not one of those, you know, he grabs you by the back of your head and sticks you in the mud and the mire and the sin and say, hey, yeah, you like some of that? You want some more? The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. If you have an older brother, maybe an older brother did that to you, but you don't. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So when Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? He didn't falsely accuse them, did he? Nope. Why did he not falsely accuse them? Because they were afraid after he said, let's go over to the other side. He's in the boat sleeping. That should have told them, there's nothing to worry. The wind is boisterous. The water is hitting the boat. And the water is going inside the boat. The boat is being filled with water. And he's still sleeping. Maybe we should go to sleep. Maybe we shouldn't be worried about dying. Maybe we shouldn't wake him up and be worried about, does he not care that we're going to die? Of course he doesn't care. He's sleeping. Well, he cares, but he's not worried about dying because he's sleeping. So when Jesus asked, how is that you have no faith? He didn't falsely accuse. He didn't come to this conclusion falsely. It was the fear in them that demonstrated the lack of faith. So when he said, let us cross over to the other side, he said this, and they just forgot about it. Or maybe they just chose not to believe it. Maybe they forgot about it, or maybe they chose not to believe it. What are some scriptures that the Holy Spirit has given to you that you're holding on to for dear life? Anybody? Shout one or two scriptures. Shout them out at me.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. Anyone else? One more. Psalm 23. Amen. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hold on to those scriptures. Hold on to those verses. And for those of you that you just kind of bashful, you didn't want to shout it out, I hope you're holding on to some verses so that when fear tries to jump on you, you could push fear out the way and start quoting that verse. And hopefully you can memorize it, that you don't have to say, where's my Bible? Where's my phone? Oh, my phone's dead. No, memorize it. Hide it in your heart so that you won't sin. Well, in this situation, so that you don't pick up fear and allow it to jump on you. No, just push it off. Push it away from you and stand on what God's word says. When Shannon and I went to the doctor's office because of her age, I can kind of hear a little of some of the hints that the doctor, he was a cool guy, but the doctor that was just talking to us, because of her age, there are certain things that they want to be precautious with because of her age, being pregnant. And as he is kind of hinting on some of the things in my head, I'm like, nope, nope, in Jesus' name, nope. And I'm just, and that's what I'm doing in my head. I'm just, pushing that stuff down because I can really get allowed fear to jump on me all the way home, shaken and in fear and can't go to sleep and can't be at peace because I'm worrying of what could happen and what might happen. But I totally forget what Jesus said. I totally forget what God said. Now, of course, Jesus didn't say, let's go, let us cross over to the other side. But I'm using that verse as just to point out that I need to remember what Jesus said to me. As Jesus said that to the disciples, they needed to remember. So we either forget what God said, we forgot what his word said, or we choose not to believe it. We end up not allowing scripture to take precedence in the situation, the circumstance. Have you ever done that before? Most of you, probably all of you, should shake your head. Yes, I've been afraid. I've allowed fear to come jump on me. I've allowed a certain circumstance and situation, all the what could be's, what might happen, affect my day, affect my thoughts and my mind, and I forgot or I chose not to believe what God's word says. Did they really believe Jesus would take them to the other side? Is a thought that came to my mind. Well, obviously not, because they started screaming and crying because they were afraid for their life. We will always need to learn more of Jesus. And this verse 41 came to me like, Lord, I will always need to know more of you, because they were shocked. They were astonished. And I'm thinking, hadn't they seen Jesus do something to this point? And how did it, let's go to verse 41, put it up on the screen. It says, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, and I'm picturing them, elbowing each other, who can this be, pointing at Jesus, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Hello, didn't he just do some things before this? Is this the first time that is this the first day you've been with Jesus? They must have forgotten. No, you know what? We'll always be learning new things of Jesus. We'll always be learning his love, his compassion, of how he's not afraid. I'm not afraid of that. You just need to be patient. It's an amazing thing that when we are looking to learn more of Jesus, we'll find the new truth. Well, not the new truth, but we'll find new things that we didn't know before. And he always has been the truth. Jesus states truth. And the truth was going to the other side. What is he stating truth to you today? He's my provider. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We, you know, that song, God is so good. It ought to be a great time to sing that song when circumstances around you don't shout, God is good. Shout louder than the circumstances around you. Got problems at home? God, you're so good. Got problems at work? God, you're so good. Got issues with people driving that don't know how to drive, or people that don't know how to shop, you know, because, you know, they just, everyone's an enemy to them. You know, God is so good. He's so good to me. It's an important thing that we remember what Jesus said and whatever he stated to us. And even sometimes when he states things to me in my prayer time, it aligns with scripture. Let me just say this. When Jesus says some certain things to me, it aligns with scripture, but it's not verbatim scripture. He just says a couple of things to me that align with who he is and what God's word says. Does that make sense? He says something to me. He may not just say it in a word of, I'm proud of you, but he says something to me with that thought in my mind, I'm proud of you. And it's not an actual scripture, you know, Proverbs, whatever, you know, but he actually speaks to me. Hold on to that. Know what he says, because he states the truth. Jesus states truth in our lives. By his stripes, we are healed. Man, I hold on to that all the time. Greater is he that is in you. I was convicted at the conference that we went to, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but the speaker was saying, you know, that verse, greater is he that is in you. Are you afraid of sharing the gospel to anyone? If you're afraid of sharing the gospel to anyone, where is this scripture? Does it pop up? Does it not pop up to the forefront of your mind? If you're afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, isn't it greater he that's in you than he that's of the world? So why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? I thought, ooh, Lord, forgive me, because there have been times that I didn't, because I just chickened out. I had that yellow stripe go down my back, and I was afraid of what people were going to think or say, and, you know, and that was foolish of me. Lord, forgive me. The Prince of Peace spoke to that which was boisterous, that great windstorm, he still speaks today to that circumstance, that problem, even if it's just a rift between you and your brother, you and your sister, you and your parents, that little rift, Jesus wants to speak to that situation and bring peace to it. Now, we're either going to choose to be upset, angry, fearful, impatient, scared, or we're going to hold on to what Jesus says and say, Lord, I need your peace. Help me to be at peace. So the Prince of Peace spoke to that which was boisterous, and he said, peace, be still. When Jesus questioned them, he questioned them because what they shouldn't have had, they had. What was it? Fear. He questioned them because of what they should not have had in their back pocket, front pocket, wherever. They shouldn't have had fear, and they had it. Then he questioned them of what they should have had, which they didn't, which was faith. Faith in what he had said. Faith in him. What do you have that you shouldn't have? Us as parents, you probably have asked that question to your kid. What do you have? What do you have in your back pocket? What do you have in your hand? And they're hiding that, whatever it is. They shouldn't have that cookie or whatever. They shouldn't have that. And you ask them, what do you have? What do you have? Nothing. You know, and then what should you have that you don't have? So what do you have that you shouldn't have? Fear? Depression? Self-esteem issue, anxiety, anger, bitterness. These are things you shouldn't have. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, you do have it. You can try to hide it that you don't have it, but you have it. You need to get rid of it. What should you have that you don't have? Peace, patience, loving. It's a practical application that we can do today. We can pray. Well, what are we going to pray? How can we pray? Well, Pastor, yeah, you're right. What I have, I shouldn't have, and it's fear or whatever. I shouldn't have that. You're right. Well, then pray. Repent. God, forgive me for having this. I should not have it. Your word is true. Your word states this, and this. I shouldn't have this, Lord. Forgive me. God, and then confess. Confess to the Lord. Lord, I desire to have what you say I'm supposed to have. Instead of having fear, or instead of holding on to fear of which I have, I need to let go of that and have your perfect peace. So, Lord, I desire your peace. So, Lord, I desire your joy. God, I shouldn't have low self-esteem issues. So, God, I let them go. Forgive me for having them. So, God, I pray, I desire to have the full peace of God that, Lord, I am created in your image. So no matter what anybody says or thinks about me, God, I am important to you. I'm special to you, and you love me. Lord, I want to desire that kind of mentality. That's what we can do. A practical application of praying, repenting, and confessing to the Lord, Lord, I desire to have that, Lord. Forgive me. Help me to pursue that. Then go on living. Go on serving the Lord with this new desire to have peace, patience, love. No longer unforgiveness. Lord, I want to forgive. I want to share this quick story. I was watching the National Geographic Channel, and this kind of goes along. It was the Alaska State Troopers. And so these state troopers are driving, and he pulls over two young men. They got caught, he pulled them over, then they got caught because something happened. So he pulled them over during hunting season. He was doing a routine check. Guess what happened? They should have had a valid driver's license, but they didn't. They should have had something, but they didn't. They should not have had open alcoholic beverages. They did have that. So they got fined. And I'm sitting there watching this. I'm thinking, man, and they should not have had that. Then they knew. When it was kind of funny because when the guy gave it to him, kid already looked down. He said, do you know that your license is expired? He said, yes, sir. And I'm thinking, big dummy, you know. But how many times do we hold on to something we're not supposed to? How many times we're holding on to and we're not supposed to, because God's word says it. I wasn't going to share this, but this is really good. I need to share it. We went on the cruise that we had in July. And when we showed up, we were still in Port Canaveral. And, you know, I took out my ID. I told Shannon, you know, let me get your ID. She gave me her ID. I gave it to the lady. I didn't even know. The lady said, looked at Shannon and said, ma'am, your driver's license is expired. My heart, hit the ground. No way. And so, because I had made sure that, you know, she had a driver's license and her birth certificate, I had my passport. And I'm thinking, oh. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, they're not going to let us go. And I kind of wanted to throw a joke in there, bye, Shannon. But I didn't want to. And so she's like, what? And so evidently they allowed us to go. And they said, you guys, the lady told Shannon, with that face, you need to tell them that you did not know. And then we're like, okay, I'm thinking Shannon is not going to lie. So we just prayed. We prayed that when we got to the one port, they weren't going to say your license is expired. And so we just prayed. They never asked another question. Praise God. So if they did, I would have had to make up, sell some stuff and go get Shannon, because she'd still be in the Bahamas or something. But anyway, these guys had something they shouldn't have. And here I was saying, what big knuckleheads. They're going hunting and they do not have a valid hunting license. And I thought, man, how many times do I hold on to things I'm not supposed to? Then what they should not have had, they had. They had in their possession. They had open alcoholic beverages, and of course that even heightened the tickets even more. And so I share that story just to kind of point out that I was the one pointing my finger, big knuckleheads. But how many times do we do that? We hold on to something we shouldn't, and that which we should have, we don't have. We don't. It's not in our front. It's not in our pockets, and we don't even have that scripture memorized, and we're not holding on to what Jesus said. We don't have time, but in Luke chapter 9, just real quick, just want to mention, there's a man, and he's a father, and he has a son, and the son is throwing him, it says that the son sometimes throws himself into fire and is foaming at the mouth, and, you know, this child is possessed with evil spirits. And Jesus rebukes the people's unbelief, and he takes over the conversation, over the situation. We need to allow Jesus to take over the situation. If there's fear, if there's turmoil, if there's bitterness, if there's anger, whatever it is, it's just not good. We need to step aside and say, Jesus, take, you know, that country song, Jesus, take the wheel. I don't like that song. But anyway, we need to let Jesus take over the conversation, over the situation. Let him step in, because when he stepped in, he took the conversation and asking the Father, how long has this boy been possessed? And then he took the question even farther and said, talk to the father about his faith. And then the father was, man, he was humble. I pray that we learn to be humble before God, because we can't fool God. Can I hear an amen? We can't fool him. This man was humble, and he says, man, let's see, where am I? I lost my place here. Jesus told him, if you can believe, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. So it's not a good situation. With tears. Not tears of joy, okay? Like he heard a joke. But tears of sorrow. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Man, there have been many times that I've had to remember this verse. Lord, I know that you are. Lord, I know. Lord, just help me. Help my unbelief. This guy was honest. God knows where you're at. He knows what he needs to work on in you. So just be honest with him. Lord, I'm having difficulty trusting you with this situation, but I know that with you, God, all things are possible to him who believes. So God, intercede in this situation and take it over. Be honest. Repent. Lord, forgive me. And then Jesus rebukes the evil spirit, brings wholeness to the boy. He brings wholeness to our situations. And as always, Jesus is the answer. He loves to bring salvation into the situation. He loves to bring healing because he already paid for it. He loves to bring freedom to our situations so that we can walk in the freedom that he's already paid. Father, we just thank you. We pray, Lord, that we would be honest with you today. Lord, in the times that we've allowed fear to jump on us, God, help us to strip, to throw it off, Lord, to just cast fear off, and that we would hold on to your word, that we would know what you say about the situation that we're involved in right now. Lord, you know the situation, the heartaches, if there's any, the troubles, if there's any, the difficulties, if there's any, in your people here tonight. I pray, Father, that they will just be honest with themselves and say, Father, forgive me for allowing fear to jump on my back. I kick them off in Jesus' name, and I hold on to what you say, Lord Jesus. Help me to find a verse that compares to this situation so that I can hold on to your word and let go of this fear. Father, I pray that you will help us to walk in the freedom that you always provide and that you always bring. We thank you, Father. You did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.